This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, November 13th, 2008.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Calling this meeting to order. Thursday, November 11, 2008. It's 4:46 p.m. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Here.
Here.
Excuse. Excuse.
Here.
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 Here. Excuse. Excuse.
Here.
Excuse.
Here.
Okay, great. And actually, we have a GPSA liaison here, Erica. Wouldn't mind introducing yourself to the group? Thanks. At this point, we have open microphone. If there's anyone in the audience that would like to address the student assembly on any issue not currently on the agenda, please do so now. Looks like we're all... Oh, yes? Yep, come on up. Please state your name and year for the record. What's that? Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Hello, along with the important costs and the website,
And when they explained it to me, I was that when you think about the Ebola problem, you think sickle cell, and sickle cell is, as, I don't know if it's the rumor, I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently it was only put in place because the family of sickle cell gave it a lot of circulation to come out. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I was going to say. And I feel that apparently it was so clear that people stopped to do it. And it was just in the conference space. So I'm not so surprised, like, why is that money being used for someone to stop a lot? And so if you put it on the board, you have such a money that would stay to be, you know, put in good use. And aside from that, I also discussed in the meeting with the CIT, that's a good issue that is going to help by limiting to send it right. And I told them that by limiting us, they'll enhance the local server. You know, this people have got a power with five channels. Those of a lot of shops, you know, that they don't know what this is about. And they, apparently the lady had a meeting with a faction, and they kind of had a faction, but five channels they could go. And apparently that was not brought up. And that's what tells me that they don't know about that. I mean, they can't stop that, but that's what tells me they don't know about that. And I explained to them how they are, because they're limiting the internet access, so I don't think it would be illegal. But back to the main focus, I suppose, is that the limited information that you use is restricting our knowledge, and I guess that's like the catalyst for more interaction between parents and students and the businesses as well.
Okay, I didn't catch that last part, but so it sounds like you're bringing up four different issues that perhaps you'd like us to address. So it's the limitation on internet access, which is 10 gigabytes a month, lack of transparency of the allocation of money at the operating budget level, PeopleSoft system origination and issues, and then DC++. At least for the first point you bring up, the 10 gigabytes a month, that's something we can definitely have our CIT committee look into slash review. Do you want to say something, or are you just raising your hand? Sorry, Mike, speak more to the mic, sorry.
The CIT committee is a student assembly committee that works with CIT and helps to support the CIT committee. So I have actually heard about the concern of the over the restriction of how much information the students are allowed to know. So it's definitely something that we can urge
Yeah, so again, that's something our committee can review. And I'm sure there are, it sounds like they did brief you, but I'm sure there are reasons for that restriction. I don't know if it's balance of internet traffic. I'm not technologically savvy, I don't know. But that's something that they will review. And also, if you want to serve on that committee, you're welcome to, as I think it's fully staffed, you can serve as a non-voting member and be a part of that discussion. So if you're interested, actually, maybe Tony will go take your name and info down right now. As I'm just going down the line, as far as PeopleSoft, I don't know that it was necessarily an experimental phase, but a full university-wide transition to a new software. And obviously, I can't really talk about any of the rumors. I think it's just that. If anyone else would like to respond, you're more than welcome to.
As far as PeopleSoft goes, the University Assembly will actually be reviewing PeopleSoft and how functional it is and whether or not we want to continue working with this software. So they would probably be best ones to contact. And Asa, maybe you can remind me the specific date. I know it's coming within the next few weeks. So.
I don't think it's at the current meeting, but I might get the name of the name from Tony and can invite you to that meeting so we can discuss PeopleSoft at the University Assembly meeting. So
So I will keep you posted on when that discussion comes up and the individuals that will be in there.
So it's great that you brought those two up, because we can certainly follow through, and that's exactly what open microphone is for. So we will get back to you. Do you have anything else?
Yes. In relation to PeopleSoft, I mean, it's not that. I mean, PeopleSoft is a bad program in the sense that it's bad and going so. But it's not just about PeopleSoft. It's like, at the meeting, they told me that currently Cornell is coming out for this program in order to save money. And it's just, I feel that the business aspect of Cornell had no input from our students in town. That's what they want out of someone. Well, they would like to see that money out of me. Then possibly that money wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't be cutting programs right now, or we wouldn't be spending money in, you know, people's jobs and instead invested in a better school that would be reliable. So it's not just about people's jobs, it's about the communication between the town, students, and business. And I was wondering if somehow we could get representation from the business.
No, those are very good points, and I mean, I know conversations have, and I'm looking at Vincent. Conversations have existed where, you know, how can the student assembly, the students, be more involved in the approval of the operating budget and improve of all those finances? So those are very good points. Vincent, did you want to add anything?
So there's actually a lot of activity going on within the financial aspect of the university, and I think a good person that we can contact, and I'll do it. Who also knows more about the issues, about the finances, what the Cornell is looking to do. And perhaps what occurred would be to ask her if she could represent the trustees of Cornell University that they bring us into discussion. So I'll work that out. I know I talked to the VP, the Vice President for Finances here at Cornell, who's actually supposed to come today, but again, he's actually in New York City, so he canceled our discussion about finances today, but he can make it. We're working on this issue, and I will talk to some trustees to try and get more input on the financial issues of the university.
Great. Maybe we can even put this gentleman in touch with Kate. Yeah, you're exactly right. We our student elected trustee is a member of the Board of Trustees and therefore has all of those rights in improving university finances. So that's another venue we'll look into. And then the last issue, it looks like we're addressing, and then we'll get back to you on the three issues. And the last one, the DC++, you were expressing concern at the fact that the university doesn't know about it. I think they're choosing not to know about it, and that perhaps is in the best interest of the students at this point. So, and we actually had Polly McClure in last week to talk about all illegal file sharing and downloading and all of that, and that was made kind of clear. It's not a university issue per se, that they're not going to tackle that, because that wouldn't necessarily be in the best interest of students. And I would encourage you actually to look up our minutes audio, and there are written minutes online about that entire discussion. It has a lot of information in there about illegal file sharing on campus and what the university is doing in regards to the subpoena process and student options and choices before.
It's not. I don't have an issue with this. It's just I don't feel that it exists. That you know, there is file sharing that goes on. I think in time it can be beneficial.
Beneficial for illegal file sharing.
For students in terms of like living past tables, understanding one another. You know, not for like the aspect of like showing music and movies.
Yeah.
And
well,
like
the former is not illegal, so that's yeah. I think pretty much encouraged. But the illegal aspect, the sharing of you know, licensed and published copyrighted music and so forth, that's illegal.
But that's still like, it's not my concern. My concern is that this lady who I was talking to, she's pretty high in the CIT department.
Uh-huh.
And when I brought up the different stuff in the conversation, she didn't even know about it. It's like,
yeah, again, you know, I really encourage you to come to the CIT committee meeting, but again, as I said before, I think the university is choosing not to know about it, but again, I'm not speaking on behalf of them, and these are all issues that are discussed in the CIT committee, and I hope you know, you can be a part of that, because it sounds like you have a lot of important issues that you're bringing up. All right, so Mike Hines will follow up. We'll have Vincent follow up with the trustees discussion, and Asa. Great, and we have your contact info. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You too.
Any other open microphone opportunities? All right, thank you. Moving on to announcements and reports. We have no minutes to approve today. Election committee update by Director McDermott.
Thank you. So just a general update. The election committee has met twice now to discuss spring election rules. I just wanted to update you on some of the general consensus. Overall, the election committee would like the spring elections to have some flexibility on past rules, allowing for creativity before campaigning, some flexibility with some of the strict rules and timelines that have been set over turning in material that many of you have expressed problems with. Also, yesterday, the election committee met about Resolution 12, direct election. At that meeting, they discussed calendar and process issues, the discussion of finance limits and stipulations on who could or could not run for president and or executive vice president. Saturday, we'll be going ahead to begin drafting the spring election rules. I want to thank those of you that emailed me or showed up at either one of those meetings. Your input really helped all of us structure where we went with our discussion throughout the meeting. Two reminders that I would like the entire essay to note. First, these election rules for the spring, while they will not be passed out until February, must be passed by the end of this semester. The election packets are made while we are on break, so all rules, calendars, and decisions regarding spring elections have to be made by our last meeting. And then another quick reminder, and this comes through Ari, is that despite the success of his wonderful election program, I would like to remind you that this is not finalized. It is not a guarantee that this election system will stay in place long term, and it is not a guarantee that these cost-saving measures will remain. There is always a chance that we will have to spend the money to pay for the external election system to be used. So please keep this in mind as we go forth with the discussions about the election. Are there any questions about election committee concerns you want to quickly address?
Yes, sir.
I know that we had a quick meeting there with open discussion from other student members, but are there any final decisions or finalized or deadline for the executive session?
Without getting into too much of the burdensome details that we debated for a few hours, there are two possible options that we are looking at for the direct elections. One option is incorporating direct elections directly into SA elections, having one election date where you run for representative and or in some fashion direct election, directly elected seats for president, executive vice president. The other option that we did discuss was the possibility of having first an election related to SA seats, and then also, but not excluding those that did not win their SA seats, a second election for the president and executive vice president. With that, there are many concerns about having two elections, focused mainly on the idea of the trustee nominating committee having another election in the spring, and the question on whether or not we can put our election with a trustee election or have three elections. There is a major concern about having three elections in a semester, dealing with voter turnout and, as Ryan put it, some frustration with the number of quarter cards that would be distributed over the semester. And I think those are actual real concerns. Any other questions?
Great. And I guess anyone can always email you. We still will be meeting. And then once the elections committee has come up with their guidelines, we have to bring to the assembly for approval. So obviously any issues can still come up when the elections committee brings them to the assembly. Great. Thanks, Mike. I'm actually going to go right to the Slope Day 2008 statistics presentation. We'll do the announcement, the rest of the announcements and reports after, because we had scheduled them for 5. So, Slope Day Programming Board, thanks for coming.
Dan Frazier. See you.
All right, guys, you're all set.
couple of meetings after
and you all have the information in front of you.
It's kind of not exactly the same as what you have. You have a graph. We kind of interpreted the graph and pulled out the statistics. You don't have any numbers on here if you want to. If you do have a first name, we'll start out with tickets. So we sold approximately 1,700 tickets. We get tickets alone and some VIP tickets that they did. Thank you.
I'm going to open up the speakers list. Just one question. Do you happen to know the amount? I know you said $9,000 was for all the renting of the scanners. Do you know the amount if the university or whoever would purchase them? Or how much? Yeah. For each scanner? Wow. Okay. Okay. All right. Speakers list is open. Asif.
I had a question about the drinking numbers. Were those from the students that were caught in Gannett or needed help, or is that just a random survey?
Gannett is a survey. Each year it goes to
Biggest list. Vincent.
Just on the air, how does that work out for Because if it's scanned, then we have data to pull off. And we talked about this first, looking at the graduate versus undergraduate numbers. And it's kind of overall, we assume that the be representative of the proportion of the school is the same. It wouldn't be, you know, graduates would have higher undergraduate
Liaison McDermott for director.
I just have a brief question. Manny, you said there were 3,000 possibility of up to 3,000 tickets outside of students that would be sold.
Right.
And then I just have a question here. The only one that sold out was alumni desk tickets. And I'm wondering, just personal note, as I'm a student, will be an alumni, what the 300 or the limit is on that selling out of 300. Why is 300?
Then before we move on, I just want to, I guess, bring up and clarify perhaps, like, you know, why we asked the Sculpture Programming Board to gather these statistics. So last year, the conversation started previous to last year, but it really happened last year where as soon as we set our byline funding numbers and set the allocation for Slope Day Programming Board, which is $15 per undergraduate student, the GPSA at that time also set an allocation for $150 per GPS for a graduate student. And so the discussion basically entailed that the SA was looking for an equitable allocation between the SA and the GPSA. When looking at the number of students coming through the gate, basically coming on the slope. So with that, and we had this discussion earlier, and we just looked at the numbers again, taking the 55, the about half of undergraduates attending and then 22% of graduate students attending, setting that proportion up where we fund $15 for undergraduate to make it equitable, the GPSA would fund it at $6 per grad student. Using those statistics, can you verify that I'm looking at that, you know, correctly? Or? So that's, again, so that's kind of where this fact finding, this statistics that we requested kind of came out of. I don't know, Erica, I don't know how much you've been involved maybe with these conversations thus far, but I don't know if you'd like to comment maybe on behalf of the GPSA at this point about these new findings or anything. Right. Okay. No, great. I think it's just good. We do have these numbers now, so we have legitimate information that we could work with, and I'm sure the GPSA will be discussing that in their next byline funding, the next byline funding season next year. And is it correct that you'll be giving a presentation to the GPSA as well, or?
Yes, we'll be going to their
December 8th. Okay, great. D.T. Miller.
you want to?
So I'm curious about the long-run implications of these statistics. I know you've rented the equipment, and I'm going to buy it. That's a large equipment. What does local programming board think of the value of doing these statistics over a time period to get maybe larger, or to get a more solid trend? You know, like you guys said, some years the weather, I mean, that has a big effect. Some years it's the performer. You know, maybe grad students love rainy weather, and I forget who came. Oh, the gym class heroes, that's right. That's right. Great job. So does the SBPB find any, like, long-run value in buying this equipment to do, like, larger surveys over a longer period of time for more accurate or precise data?
Even though there's variations to the weather and market, the general trend and like the proportion of students that are attending will probably be about the same over time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could speak a little bit about it. It's, you know, it's something that it's obviously information that we want, but it's also not feasible to just put something as a mandate when you don't know who's paying for it, when the university is going through a very, you know, frugal time. There's a lot of cutting. I think the conversation will have to continue, and we'll have to maybe have it more steering or figure out. I mean, I can say right now that I don't know if there's a way that the ESA can just pay for all of it. It would have to be some kind of shared cost system, but it's a discussion we need to have, and that, you know, obviously needs to be feasible before we do it. Speakers list? Is it exhausted? Oh. Yep.
Okay, so you said it was like 59 to 150 last year when we decided to do the survey, or this year as well?
It's for the 2 years, byline funding. So it was last
year. Well, we didn't have questions before as well. That's what we were
Looks like we're all set. Thank you very much. Well, okay. Okay, going back to announcements and reports, we have a CIT committee update by Representative Hines.
Letters, whether or not they actually come with any court order statements.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I think that's excellent. I think that's exactly what we were looking for after that meeting with Polly. So, questions? Emily.
I know, okay, more about you, but if there's a question here,
questions?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Dave.
I was going to say, I mean, one idea would be to go to RIAA and say, you know, hey, student government at Cornell, we're looking to start a deterrence program. Could you give us any statistics about it? You know what I mean? Like, kind of play into what they want to hear almost.
Yeah, and I actually received a report from the ABA that when a bunch of us met with Susan Murphy, it seems like the pre-enrollment thus far has been very smooth. I don't know if anyone has any other stories otherwise. That's what I'm hearing from them, and I mean, I know my personal experience thus far has been good, but I'm a senior and a lot less seniors are pre-enrolling.
I'm going to disagree strongly.
All right.
I pre-enrolled twice for myself and for someone else, and both times it broke.
Pre-enrolled? Okay.
It was really bad.
Sorry.
Is pre-enrollment, which won't be nearly as full as EDGOP. So if it's crashing now, even just for some people, I can only imagine what it'll do in the spring, which is when we had the problem last time.
So I guess times it would be a good idea to keep on tab, because clearly maybe the reports are not representative of students' experiences. Asa.
Just another impact when you look at their enrollment in PeopleSoft. I know when I added to my classes, I specifically went in first and added a class that I knew was going to fill up very quickly, but just because it's in your list doesn't mean that it's saved.
Yeah.
So perhaps just something that can be done about that so that students don't like, oh, I can go to the end and do all the other ones and then, you know, you got that red light and you're stuck.
Yeah.
they stick it really carefully now to the community credit. It's one of some schools that you can't go above, so you can't enroll like 30.
Oh, no, not that. It's just one
way. It's just one way. Yeah, I know. Same time.
The other one ends at 11. Like, one let me do both of these.
Anyone else? Okay, great, thanks. So I guess you and the CSE committee will keep tabs on that. Maybe ask the police KBJ. Okay. We have a deciding neutrality reminder by Representative Diacal.
Emily.
Oh. Hey, everybody. So, please, the best friend is here. And
well, okay,
so I know that I'm more about 6 people email me that cannot come. Did you email me? Then you're coming. So I just want to make that clear. Okay, so yeah, just add it. It starts at 11 in Rosa Flora House of whatever time, whatever that is, on what. And I know Tony mentioned on email, like, he thought people should get runs and stuff. I won't be there. But I don't know if I'm going to do that because there isn't going to be tons of dudes and stuff. So
oh, well, that's
a
rare thing.
Yeah, don't even plan. We're paying for it, so. Yeah.
Okay.
Eat it up.
So yeah.
Just continue to.
Okay. Great. If you cannot go, please be Emily. Any questions? Okay, moving on. We have an Ivy White announcement by Representative Lotella.
Okay, guys. I sent out an email. I think it was Sunday night or Monday night. Concerning Ivy Life, which is a project group of Ivy Council. Essentially what Ivy Life's goal is, in case you guys don't remember from my presentation earlier this semester, Ivy Life is in charge of kind of preparing high school students for a college admissions process, really trying to help out the image of the Ivy League, encourage students, you know, that are thinking about applying to Ivy League schools, check out the website and check out the different process. So what they're doing is they're putting together more or less an admissions guide to Ivy League schools in general. It's actually a pretty neat idea. They're hoping to get about 10 or so sample essays from each school. And they're going to have analyses of each of those essays, as well as reasons why these essays were successful in helping them to gain admission, as well as other facts about the school. So it was something that will be published, hopefully, in a year or two. You might even be able to see it on bookstores like Barnes & Noble and stuff. So basically what I'm asking is if anybody has any essays from their college admissions process to Cornell that they're especially proud of and that they might like to get published in this book, send them over to me by November 17th. That's when the first deadline is done. Also, it will be anonymous. You guys don't really have to worry about people to recognize which essay you have. So let me know if you have any questions.
All right, questions. DC David.
Are you advertising this essay thing like for the school at large?
I do vary. I did not have the school at large. They wanted us to send out different, to the email from various groups on campus. But that might be a good idea if there's some way.
Facebook or something? Like Facebook?
No, we can definitely do that. If I would like any, suggestions.
VP Junowitz.
Sorry, it's not really a question. Just if you need help with anything, like if you want to use a Facebook group or if you want to use a new listserv, I think this would probably be like an appropriate thing to include in all of that. So
okay,
if you're interested, let me know.
Thank you. Yeah, and another thing, I'm also working with the Knight Writing Institute as well, so they're going to be helping with the analysis.
Any questions for Alex? All right. We have a Res Life Committee update by Representative Kumar.
Alright, so a couple of kind of exciting things with the Res Life Committee. Last week we met with Karen Brown in the Department of Campus Life, and she talked to us, first of all, about trying to improve communication about housing monitoring and housing procedures, to especially people living off campus, as well as to freshmen and people living on West Campus that will be involved in the in-house monitoring system coming up soon. So the committee members are in the process of giving some feedback there about all that. Another thing that she brought up was a new policy that went into effect last year, which basically put everybody who's living off campus, if they're trying to get back on campus, to the housing lottery this year, they're put at the last day of the lottery system. So part of it was she was asking our feedback as to how to improve communication to those people to let them know that if they're trying to get back on campus for the next year, that they have to go to the end of the line. So I think there were a couple of suggestions about using some of the new tools that the communication committee has developed to kind of educate students about that. But if you know people who are trying to get back on campus and you know they have opinions about that or concerns about that, just feel free to email me and talk to me about that. And I think the last thing is I believe there's a presentation about the campus like master plan.
Next week.
Yep, next week. They'll be providing dinner and asking for all of our input. Great. Any questions? Actually, for others, I wanted to ask, was it brought up, you know, why do they, I mean, I guess I know why. They want to have that competitive advantage. They want to reward those who are providing, who are, they're giving a service to, but maybe that's something we want to question or even fight if it's not in the best interest of students. So that's something that the committee should discuss, maybe.
You talking about the new policy that people trying to back on
campus. Or at the end of the line, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If, yeah, again, if you have concerns or opinions about that, I'd really love to hear because that would be
awesome. The, well.
Yeah, you mean the policy itself?
Yeah,
basically what happens right now is because this is a housing crunch, students that are living on campus right now, if they're trying to do the income lottery, they can go first. So those are all the things we're boarding. And so all of us get the first preference, and you're going to be seniors. And on the last day, under this new policy, on the last day, then everybody on the new off campus, right, they're on campus, the next year, will be allowed to turn up front this window. So that's a new policy that went into effect last year, if I'm mistaken. So you know, she was trying to get our feedback to kind of properly communicate that to students trying to get on campus this year. But obviously, if there are concerns,
any other questions or comments? Okay. We have an essay listserv access report from DP Junowitz.
Hey guys. Okay, so I know a number of you have asked me about what the process is like if you wanted to email the entire student body similar to class council or like Denise Cesaro. So what I did was I emailed David Yeh about it to kind of ask him about what the process is like. And this is, I'm going to tell you my response that I got from him. Sort of a two-part process for an email to get approved. The first part is obviously the content. The content must be approved by Susan Murphy, and we can't do marketing, sales, or solicitation, which makes sense, I don't think. We would do that anyway. And then the second kind of component to that is the time that it would be sent, and this includes time of the week and time of the year. So these are all the different things that kind of go into whether or not you're going to send an email that we sort of propose. Time of the week, they said they prefer it for it to go out on Fridays because then people have the whole weekend to kind of read it as opposed to during the week. And they also don't send out emails during what they call critical periods, which would be like reading week or exam periods and things like that. We also discussed the time frame a little bit. He said that they need at least 7 to 10 business days, but it actually usually takes longer. So it is kind of a long process. So this was all the information that I was given. I didn't know if you guys are satisfied with this answer, if this is something you want me to pursue. I'd be more than willing to look into it further, but does anyone have any questions or anything?
Ms. Garrett.
I just have a brief comment. From the meeting that occurred with David Yeh earlier this semester, from what I've read in the email, it's slightly different than the information he gave us in that meeting. From what he was insinuating and not speaking directly to when he had that meeting was that it was an easier process than what he has now outlined in this email. It seems to be, he did not mention the potential to edit the email, and he did give us a time limit. From my recollection, was a bit faster than this 7 days could be much longer.
Yeah, he did say several days. I don't know, this is the response I got. However, he said that, you know, if we do want to send an email, he said to let him know, and then he would be able to give us a better idea as to what the process would be like. He said that basically it kind of all depends on the content of the email and when we wanted to send all of that. So he said that if we were to approach him with that information, then he'd be able to kind of work with us that way. But I think this is more general, which I kind of noted when he mentioned the marketing, sales, and the solicitation. So I figured that was, I don't know if he was speaking directly to us or in general. Anything else?
Any other questions? Okay. Thanks. Any other announcements or reports before we move on? Okay. Moving on to new business. Resolution 13, encourage action in the Congo by Representative Baker and Nathaniel Houghton.
I'd like to move this to the business of the day.
We can vote on it in new business. We can vote on it in new business.
Okay.
It's not a charter change.
It's still new business.
Sure.
So it would be discussion.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, we'll move it to new business of the day.
You're right.
I'll move it to business of the day. All right, you have 5 minutes.
So first of all, I just want to say that the proposal, because the resolution itself is pretty broad, not very specific. Just the resolution, it doesn't seem like there's any clear goal or message. So that's pretty important. I'm saying this to someone who's very devoted to
thank you very much. We'll open up the speakers list. I have one question. Have any other universities, I know divestment in Darfur was kind of something that was popular among institutions like Cornell, and it was all kind of done at the same time. Is there anything like this or any proclamation like this currently on the table at other institutions? Have they passed something in the recent past or not recent past?
Over 30 countries, I haven't heard any real tangible successes as a result. I'm just concerned about the university called North Carolina.
Okay, thank you. Speaking of course, is open. Director McDermott.
Nate, first I just want to congratulate you on taking this initiative. And for the entire essay, I want to recommend the need and urgency of maybe not a resolution from us, but the recognizing the issue that is occurring. There's been a quarter million people displaced by the, at least a quarter million people displaced by the violence. And there's been a new term in the violence. Today, there's been a start of blocking roads with dead bodies as a way to prevent human aid workers and troops to enter areas to allow security. A couple of things that I wanted to quickly say about the proposal coming from my development background. One, I would like to point out that we need to be careful when we're calling on governments and criticizing governments. Complex and complicated histories and realities on the ground make us have to consider what the governments are going through. I'm in no way condoning the actions or inactions by the government, but I do not want to place all blame on the government in the Congo at this time. Rebel forces do have a lot to do, as well as geographic influences. I would like to promote your calls for leadership and educational training and institutional connections, as well as service learning trips. I can say, because of risk management, it is very hard for an American student to in any way get into that region. I would urge all members of the SA, as well as yourself, Nate, to speak with congressional and UN representatives. I had the ability to speak with UN representatives about violence in Africa last fall, and it is a very tricky issue, ranging from everything from UN troops being involved in gender-related crimes to their ability to get into the areas where the worst actions are occurring. I do have a couple questions, one relating to cost and funding that such proposals would bring to the university. Two is a question about networking on campus. I know from work that I've done with Friends of Zambia, a group similar to Friends of Congo, or Friends of the Congolese, is that on campus there are numerous people working in Zambia, and they were completely unaware that there were multiple professors and students working in Zambia. So I want to make sure that you're looking on campus and around the community. And finally, from an international development and agriculture development stance, the investment, I do have concerns with. There is things to be said, economic reasons, and I know this will sound horrible, that at times exploitative labor is the first rung on the ladder for development and paid jobs. And second, there are unintended economic consequences when Americans are divesting from those that are employing members of the population in the Congo.
30 seconds.
So I just would like to state those concerns and promote the education and service learning portion. And again, reiterate the urgency. So thank you, Nate, for everything you've done.
Thank you for addressing the issues you brought up first. I do actually echo your sentiments. Sorry, I looked at what you do. And I guess I should have phrased it a little differently, but I do believe that a concern is that maybe institutions such as Cornell don't face such a level, which is why I think we should be working through this channel. As far as the cost, I guess I can address that by saying President Scorton, when he was inaugurated, outlined a very broad African mission. And that has not been, that has not included the position.
quick. DC Basic.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to echo Director McDermott's comments, especially about unintended consequences. But, again, I mean, I feel like the scope of the student assembly has sort of a history of getting in perhaps where it shouldn't in terms of international issues, such as condemning Iran and Iraq and stuff like that. But I think here this is an issue where through divestment we can have a real impact. Whether or not that's a good idea is another question. But I think that in terms of the scope of the student assembly, a call for divestment and a call for President Gorton to support this proposal is something that's well within our purview. So I'm going to motion to amend Resolution 13 to strike the therefore let it be resolved clause and replace it with therefore let it be resolved that the student assembly urge President Gorton to sign the proposal for institutional action to counter the current crisis in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, with particular focus to consideration 5, divestment from companies which profit from human exploitation in the Congo. So that's my.
Do you want to repeat that?
Yeah.
Slowly for the question.
So strike everything, replace it with, therefore let it be resolved that the student assembly urge President Gorton to sign the proposal, and then the name of the proposal, for the institutional action to counter the current crisis, with particular focus to consideration 5, divestment from companies which profit from human exploitation in the Congo.
Again? Okay.
Okay.
Why don't you repeat one more time, though, for all of us?
Okay.
Sorry. Are you striking all 5 points?
Yes.
That whole clause.
Consideration 5 comes from the.
So then what's the
consideration 5 comes from the proposal.
Oh, okay.
The proclamation.
The proclamation.
Okay. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
I struck everything. Okay. All right. One more time. I struck everything and therefore let it be resolved.
Be it therefore resolved.
Be it therefore resolved, sorry. And replaced it with be it therefore resolved that the student assembly urge President Gorton to sign the proposal with particular focus to.
Oh, sorry. Sign the proclamation.
Proclamation.
Or is it proposal?
It says proposal.
It's proposal. Sorry. Yes?
Just quick. What he's signing on the there is not the official document that this is.
Wait, I'm sorry. We can do the point in question. We're in the middle of an amendment, the motion, so let him finish and then you can. I mean, that doesn't change what he's motioning to amend.
What he's going to be signing, that's all.
All right, endorse. Is that any better? Okay. therefore, let it be resolved that the student assembly urged President Gorton to endorse the proposal with particular focus to consideration 5, divestment from companies. Sorry. With particular focus to consideration 5, divestment from companies which profit from human exploitation
in the
Congo.
There's been a motion to amend. We've heard it several times. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? There's been dissent. I want to explain. 30 seconds to explain your side.
I guess I'm just curious why the divestment
is different. Okay, repeat.
What?
We can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Mine said that, like, number 5 on the proposal or whatever is the most important thing, because it seemed like the staff members were really the other parts of the world.
Basically over there, but I can. He did say he did mention that, so I can just repeat what he said, which was in our purview and what you know. What I guess we can urge the president to do. That's something tangible that we can kind of say, please do this. But I will let Basil respond to that. Did you hear the question?
Yeah. I mean, we can say that the moon should turn purple, but that's not going to make it happen. This is something feasible that we can accomplish. I mean, I doubt that whoever the dictator of Congo is going to read this resolution, and you know. So.
Okay. Because there was dissent, we're now just going to go right into discussion with a brand new speaker. So, what's discussion of this amendment? So, I had Representative Leong Song.
Maybe we could change the word urging to endorse the proposal.
more that he considers the proposal. I mean, it's clear that, I mean, we just saw with Michael German yourself, we're thinking that it was not necessarily the right direction. We think that the issue is important, and we think that there are some issues, some actions that the university can take, and that therefore we should make clear that Scorton reflects on those actions. We're not, you know, we have no idea what's happening, you know, like, he knows to some extent that they should put together a proper committee with some professors that are very close with the Congo of some sort, and that they get a reception in the next few weeks. We don't want to we're not even endorsing totally the proposal, so we don't want to ask him to endorse the proposal which we don't endorse. So I think consider what the correct vote.
So are you motioning?
And I do a motion to amend.
You want to amend the amendment, and so can you just be specific one more time that what you want to.
And we urge President Schwarzer to consider, I'm hoping to change it in the verbs, to consider the proposal and to perhaps launch a committee on this issue.
Point of inquiry, if we pass a resolution, doesn't it mean that we are endorsing our names on that?
Passing this resolution, of course, that's your judgment. I mean, how the text stands right now, it's the be it therefore resolved clause. I mean, I don't need to repeat it again, but it's doing exactly what was the be it therefore resolved clause. If there's another one that's saying the student assembly also endorses the proclamation, that's something else. But that's your interpretation, and you know, this is what the resolution is. That's the they have that down as pending. I don't know. I don't know if necessarily us passing the resolution as stands now is that we're officially endorsing this proposal, but not my purview to say. Next one
can we kind of find that friendly?
Oh, yes, sorry.
Yeah, I found that friendly.
He finds that friendly. Moving on, we're still on the speaker's list for the amendment.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we have it right.
Just, you want to change and then form a committee? Do you want that to be in there too? Okay, but do you just want to change the word consider, or do you also want to add the have you?
Yeah, you can add as well forming a committee
of
experts of the university to
reflect on this issue. Okay, we're doing a lot of talking. If you're motioning to amend the amendment, please state the text that you want to put in there, period.
First, we're supposed to consider the proposal and to ask the administration to form a committee of experts of the university to reflect on this issue and what the university and what action the university can feasibly take.
Okay, so are you striking everything that he said before? Before it was that the student assembly urges President Scorton to consider the proposal with particular focus to consideration 5, etc. You're striking that?
This is what I just added.
You want to add that to the end?
So, all right, how about urge President Scorton to consider the proposal and form a committee of experts to give particular consideration to consider particular focus to consideration 5.
If I may,
okay.
But yes, you will. As soon as we have to, everyone's talking. There's a lot of out of order here. I'm waving my gavel. Can you please say what we have at this point? What stands on the table for the amendment?
Okay.
With what you found friendly from Luis.
Okay. Therefore, let it be resolved that the student assembly urge President Scorton to consider. Sorry?
Urges
President Scorton to consider the proposal and form a committee of experts to focus on consideration 5, focus on the feasibility of consideration 5, divestment for companies with profits and human exploitation in the Congo. Is that?
And the education, the long-term education, linked with institutions in the Congo.
I mean, I feel like that's also in the proposal itself, so I don't know that we need to.
Yes. Okay. So, the amendment now stands. Be it therefore resolved, the Student Assembly urges President Scorton to consider the proposal for institutional action to counter the current crisis in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and to form a committee of university experts to focus on the feasibility of consideration 5. Okay. Clerk, are we okay with that? You have it, to some extent. We'll get it later. Okay, we are still continuing the speaker's list of the amendment. The Basil found that friendly. I'm going to go direct to McDermott, and then I'm going to let the speakers of the resolution respond.
I just point of information to the panic, point of information to the amendment, or to Chris.
Point of information is a question to the chair.
Basil's been a question to Basil. By saying, focus on consideration five, are we moving any of the importance which came from the authors of the proposal and this resolution of the importance of the education, the service learning, the long-term institutions working with the Harvard Human Initiative, et cetera? That is much more of an importance in the actual text of this proposal than anything to do with divestiture. Am I correct to think that your amendment is actually changing the importance of consideration five and therefore changing the emphasis of this proposal?
Are you yielding your time to Basil?
I'm yielding my time.
Okay. Give a minute.
I think to a certain extent, yes. I think that, again, from basically the wonderful work that they do as an organization, Students for the Congo or whatever the name is not subtracted or, you know, it's not taken away or, you know, extended by this resolution. That work will go on. I think that from President Skorton's point of view in terms of what he as a president and as an administrator can feasibly do, consideration five for divestment is sort of one of the more feasible things that he can do today. I mean, again, I don't think that asking him, you know, sort of pump money into, you know, an education program is feasible in today's environment.
15 seconds.
But that's my personal opinion. I agree, though, that to a certain extent it does kind of reorient the focus of the proposal.
I'm going to let now the speakers of the resolution have 2 minutes. This is a speaker's list for the amendment, so I have Craig, Simon, Mezzi. So if you're on the old one, you want to be on this one, you have to re-raise your hand. That's who's on it. 2 minutes. You're next. Representative Craig. If I've acknowledged you, you're on the list. There's no need to.
So I was going to initially speak about the resolution as a whole and sort of our purview as a student assembly for being responsible for the students. I think while focusing on Section 5 is a good thing, on the idea of how do we support the country or the companies that do justice around the world. I also do think that I'd like to reiterate Director McDermott said that service learning is a big part. Someone that went into work in service work in Nicaragua, we do want to see, you know, what options are available to students. So while, yes, Clause 5 is important, also I feel Clause 4 is additionally important. However, I do also want to say that to hopefully the sponsors of this resolution that perhaps while, yes, we can pass something as a student assembly and say, that this is what we think, perhaps there are better advocates to work with either the Nell International Affairs Review, professors in the government department, who can, may or may not have a little bit more sway than, you know, groups of students have, and say, this is exactly what we think the university should look at, and through, you know, the way we're doing things. I think that's something very important and that can help the case. Additionally, as student assembly members, while it's good that we took action on an issue, there's so many more things that are going on in the world, and, you know, I can come up with a resolution every week to say, you know, we just need to urge people to take action on this. So I feel that's something else that we should take into consideration. But seeing as though this is a very big problem for Director McDermott, also gave us more facts, and also the resolution also gave us some facts. I think it is important and something that we should consider, but I do urge that there are other avenues as well to get into the knowledge.
You can have 30 seconds.
Sure. Addressing service learning, I should just point out that I actually am in the process of developing a service learning. I'd rather go under the corner. I think it goes better that way.
Something.
As far as condo and the word condo, I don't know if I can do that much, but I think it's
okay. Moving on to the speakers list. Again, this is the speakers list for the amendment. So discussion and anything should be about the amendment. And then once we're done with that, we go back to the regular speakers list. VP Miller.
So a large problem we're coming into with this discussion. We really don't know what Day Hall, what President Scorton, what VP Golding could really do. We're all speculating about the feasibility of what they can do. Can they form a committee? Can they do this? I would urge sponsors to take their information, to maybe go to Day Hall before they came back to us with some, very strong details about what is Gordon willing to do, what's going to be able to do, what is he willing to do, and delineate between the two. Come back to us with maybe more feasible, maybe more structured details so that we have a clearer picture that so there's not much so much confusion on the assembly. And with that in mind, I would like to call the question.
Ben, I called a question for the amendment. So we're going to be voting on the amendment. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Call the vote. Dissent. I'm going to continue the discussion.
Sorry.
You're next to the speaker's list. Representative Stein.
Oh, okay. I have to say, it almost seems to me like we propose a new committee be formed every week on the student assembly, and some of them are active, some of them do incredible work, but many of them seem to fall by the wayside and are eventually dismantled. It sounds like you have a wonderful group of students you're working with, and you have ties with, President Scorton, et cetera. So I'm not really sure what an off-establishment committee would do. Additionally, I'm worried that this amendment, in addition to establishing this committee, makes the resolution even more vague than it already is, which concerns me because I think we can lose track of what we're actually agreeing to since it's not on the amendment page, it's in this attachment. So I personally don't like this amendment, and I yield my time to VP Messi.
Okay, just before that,
I'm sorry, is this the committee that the SA is forming, or is this a recommendation for the president of the university to form a president committee?
The latter. As the amendment stands right now, it's the latter.
So a president of the committee.
Okay.
Messi, you have 30 seconds.
Right.
You're also next in the speaker's list.
Okay.
VP Menu. 2 minutes.
Thank you. I think we have a group here at Cornelian for the Congo that's doing some great work, and they're getting great information. And I think that, we should charge them to pull in administrators and faculty and all those different people and have these discussions and forums or whatever they need to do. So I would like to motion to strike the committee portion of the amendment so that it reads President Scorton to consider the proposal with particular focus to consideration 5, divestment from the companies, that whole piece before we added the big section about committees, because I think a lot of times we overcommittee and we're underproductive, and I think we should charge the group who is responsible for, the interest of the Congo Cornelians for the Congo with collecting that information.
Okay, so state your amendment to the amendment again.
Strike, I don't know what it currently reads, I don't have it in front of me, but strike all parts of forming a committee.
Right.
And have it go back to
just read what you want.
President Scorton to consider the proposal with particular focus to consideration 5, divestment from companies which profit from human exploitation in the Congo.
Do you find that friendly?
Nope.
There's been a motion to amend the amendment. You just heard it. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any dissent? Is there any dissent?
Wait, do I have to dissent?
No, but...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's no dissent. That is now... there's no dissent.
Oh,
that is now the amendment. So let me read the amendment now.
I can't dissent. I thought you said I didn't need dissent.
I don't tell people what to say. That would be corruption. Be it therefore resolved that the Student Assembly urges President Scorton to consider the proposal for institutional action to counter the current crisis in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, with particular focus to consideration 5, investment from companies which profit from human exploitation in the Congo. That's now the amendment. Order.
All right, great.
Moving on. The speaker's list from the amendment, Representative Dylan Trump. Yes, point of information.
Thinking about, no, we're not that. Representative Gordon already
Is it a point of information? That's a point of information. Yeah, I'm just saying that's an appropriate point of information. I don't know. Maybe we can have the well, can you respond to that? Moving on, Representative Dillon.
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clear that perhaps, yes, when I go to Mike, we were saying, I don't think the education questions are not relevant today, because if we want two answers, one short-term answer, which would be just highly symbolic and would not be able to explore it, is the divestment. One other action, which is much more important and where the university can actually change things, would be those education. He said in their text with Cal and Woody, they mentioned that they want to forge a new generation among the leaders, and I think that Cornell can have something to do with that. So I think we should perhaps forget that. I don't think we should necessarily change the amendment again, but I think we should be clear on that. The second thing, to respond again to people that didn't necessarily like this resolution, is that we're not saying, you know, we're not taking a position in this, so we're just urging the administration, we're urging the other and President Sportsman to take the time to think about this issue, an issue that's close to a lot of patients and students today on this campus, and a major issue which is, as we were saying, not very publicized. So we'd like them to think about it. We're not asking them to get the same outcome that we want. We just want to make sure that they think that they sit, people from this office sit with these people, and that's something that the university can easily do. And perhaps in the future, once it's more clear what the university can do, we can do a resolution that asks the president to take those new steps.
30 seconds to make.
So I'm just wondering if you, how would we go about, because we want to add something to this, about what you just said.
You can do it anytime. You're the sponsor of the resolution.
Okay, so we want to add.
However, is this, we're still on the amendment. Our scope of our discussion still right now is narrowed to the amendment.
Right.
So if it's outside of the amendment, then wait until we call a question on that, which will be after two speakers. If no one else does it, I will. But if it is, then that's fine.
This is the
okay, great. Go ahead.
As far as going to the hall, that was a concern that was brought up. I should emphasize again that this was not an unsolicited proposal. I was asking the President's Board of Advisors for this proposal when I did go to the hall.
Can you repeat that? I can't hear you.
The proposal is not unsolicited. I was invited to submit the proposal by Vice President Golding when I did go to the hall. So as far as going to the hall, getting specific ideas, I mean, that's something we have done.
So I'm sorry, I have a question. You submitted this to them. Have they responded to you whether or not?
They have not. I submitted it Monday evening.
Okay, Monday evening. I'm just going to make a comment at the discretion of the chair. Perhaps it would be appropriate if they did, giving adequate time for them to respond, and if they don't for a while, and if they say no or something like that, I think that's where you should come to us, and then, you know, and then we push the interest of students. But perhaps they're planning on totally embracing and endorsing this in the near future. Monday was just, you know, a few days ago.
Right.
You,
I understand. I'm just confused as far as the idea of going first to the administration and then to the student.
Oh, with what UT Miller was saying?
Right.
Oh, that's his opinions. I don't know. Okay.
Yes.
No, that's like anyone.
In trying to build broad support for this,
absolutely. I think right now it just stands that we're urging the administration to sign it. But if they were doing that already, then it might be inappropriate. But if this is urging us to sign on, that's another story. But what was your amendment to the amendment? What, you know, what did you want to change?
We wanted to add on to what was already there, and to meet the student leaders to discuss the responsibilities.
Thank you. So, just repeat the end there. N to meet. Yes.
Can we dissent against the amendment?
No, you can vote no on.
But doesn't it become the property of the assembly once it crosses that table?
No. They're the sponsors of the resolution, so they can change it at any point in time. You can dissent from any of our amendments to the amendments, but otherwise you'll have to vote no at that point if you don't like what they are bringing to us. It's their property. And to meet with student leaders to. I don't want to do anything. Okay, that's the amendment. It's just adding an end to meet with student leaders to discuss the possibilities at the end there. Representative Smith. Second.
Can I make an motion to amend? Second.
Amend the amendment?
Yes.
Yep, and then you have to sign friendly.
Okay. Well, as we've been talking about, I think it's probably more effective to let the student assembly support this because it's already being considered right now. So I think that we should change it to say, be it therefore resolved that the student assembly supports this proposal and urges President Fortner to consider. And then consider it with the situation of consideration.
Okay. Thank you for that amendment to the amendment. Please repeat it.
So you're leaving it how it is, but you're adding it close. You're leaving the rest of it.
Wait. You can't just.
I don't know whether or not I should.
All right, then point of information.
Okay. Point of information?
Yes.
You're leaving it how it is, but you're just adding a clause at the beginning?
Right. That's why I was asking if you can just repeat the amendment to the amendment.
Okay. Be it therefore resolved that the student assembly supports this proposal and urges President Fortner to consider it with particular focus and consideration by.
Do the sponsors of the resolution find that friendly? No, it's not. Yes. And if you find that friendly, that's what's on the resolution. You find that friendly. Right. This was separate. Okay. So now it says, be it therefore resolved that the student assembly that the student assembly supports this proposal and urges President Fortner to consider endorsement in particular focus on consideration five. With particular focus on consideration five. The sponsors of the resolution added and to meet with student leaders to discuss the possibilities in the proposal. Okay, is there any dissent?
Can we read it in full?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to read it in full, and then we're voting on this. And then we're going to go from there. This is still voting on this amendment, which everyone seems to adopt as their own. So here's what the last be it therefore resolved reads. Be it therefore resolved that the student assembly supports this proposal and urges President Scorton to consider endorsement with particular focus on consideration five and to meet with student leaders to discuss future possibilities. And to discuss the possibilities. Yes. We have to vote on this. We're still in the amendment discussion and speakers list. If we weren't on that, then we could have just found a friendly, and that's it. Will the clerk please call the roll? Everyone clear? I'm sorry. We're going to do a hand vote. All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand.
Okay.
I had 16. Hands high, again. Oh, I didn't count 8.
Keep your hand up, please. Still counting.
Yep, same thing. All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, that passes. Moving on to the former speakers list, back to just general discussion of the resolution. Next up is Representative Latella.
I'm going to yield my time to
the By the way, I have Miller Simon Craig.
I'd like to motion to table this till the sponsors of the resolution receive a response from the President Scorton's office on their feedback from the proposal, just to see where they are. And if, you know, if they say no, then I think we should readdress this. But if they say yeah, we're willing to consider all these things, I think then they've done their job. So I'm going to motion to table it till they receive a response.
There's been a motion to table. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a dissent? There's been dissent. Going into a discussion on tabling this will be a short speakers list, and then we'll go to vote on whether or not we're going to table. Representative Stein, hands up if you. That's a privilege that I give you. No, not me.
6:27 p.m. And I think that we should adjourn. We should all get a good night's sleep. And yeah. I would also like to give the sponsors of the resolution time to do more research and come back to us. I know that I would be, okay, you know, much more apt to vote on this resolution if I knew how, you know, Day Hall felt about this. I'd also be interested to see some sort of projection of cost, because if I'm going to, you know, vote on a resolution that will bring costs to the university, I'd like to know what they are and how significant they are. And I yield the rest of my time to VP Messi.
30 seconds. I just kind of want to echo those sentiments. I think it's really important that we continue to just kind of evaluate this, and we get feedback from you know, the president's office when they do evaluate it. You know, if you need help trying to reach out to them and set up a meeting, I think that that's something that Nate can help you with, or Ryan. And I think it's important, though, to hear what they have to say before we take action on that. So that's why I would I support, you know, tabling this so you receive further
time. Representative Andrews.
My defense is just based on they could just ignore the entire process that the board never responded. So I was going to tag on the timeline to it. But we're going to adjourn before I talk about the next week. So,
Representative Dillon.
I think we should vote on this right now, because I think if we were talking about this, doing something being always behind, and we're not behind, somebody in the process. We're not asking them to do any cost or any of those things. So those issues, you can bring them up once there's a resolution or another resolution for what we can actually do. What we're just doing is at the university, we're telling the university that the students believe this is an important issue. Please consider it, and please work with those students to find solutions that the university can bring. That's all we're asking, and I think it's the appropriate time to do this, and I think it's appropriate for student assembly to do this right now.
Point of information. Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but Luis just mentioned that we're not asking the university to potentially incur any costs. It looks like based on this proposal, we're asking him to consider the entire proposal. Is that correct or incorrect? Because if he's considering the entire proposal,
it's not really point of information. You can interpret it however you'd like.
I'm just confused what the resolution says at this point.
Then I'd encourage someone to yield your time and then ask Representative Dale and Song. That seems to be his interpretation. Director McDermott. Director McDermott.
Sorry, I would like to first say that I think it's important that we do give the student voice support, and that's the first thing that the entity is there for resolve. That's the first clause of that. And second, there, as my understanding and interpretation, I think some of the understanding of Louise is that there is no cost to be incurred. We've all asked the president to do is to look at the proposal. We urge him to consider the proposal. At that point, the president can then go on to decide whether or not he wants to take any action, and that's the point where costs will be incurred, not the actual looking and reading screen.
Representative Craig.
I think the decision to side with VP Messi on this, the idea as in the resolution was already submitted, the proposal was already submitted, so we might as well wait and see. But given that, I think it is important that the main point of this resolution is saying that, you know, take a minute to think about it. So instead of it being at maybe the bottom of the president's queue, maybe perhaps with a resolution that gets delivered to his desk, either tomorrow or whenever it gets delivered, that you'll have more of a consensus to look at it. You'll be saying, okay, these students want us to look at it, so maybe I'll read it. I think what you're talking about might be a great idea, and we can figure out more specific things to do after we get a specific answer from the president, as in, you know, we diverge from the administration or whatever we want to say at that point. But I think this is important just right now to say, please look at this, listen to the students, don't push it aside, and you know, take a couple minutes for the work to talk about it.
Representative,
I'm in favor of just let's vote on it. You don't believe so, then we can talk about it next week, whatever. And I'll call it first.
Thank you. We are on the speaker's list for tabling, and after that, we will go right into calling questions. Representative Dyke, last one.
I think that.
Well, I'm going to let the sponsors respond, and particularly also respond to the notion that did they say to you go to get student assembly or student support?
They told me to get broad support from everyone else.
Okay.
Point of information. There's some kind of misconception that I need to help find members of the day ball. That's certainly not the case. In order to
thank you. We're calling the question. Point of information.
What time does the chair have?
It's 6:32. I'm extending it so we can have this vote at least whether or not we're going to table.
Okay.
all in favor of tabling, please raise. All in favor of tabling, please raise your hand high. All opposed.
Peter.
Abstention. All right. Yes, that's what I have. So the motion failed. It is now 6:33, so our meeting is adjourned unless there are any motions.
Motion to extend for 2 minutes to call the question.
Who spoke first?
Go ahead.
Motion to extend this for 5 minutes, seeing that we all just think that we don't want to table it.
There's been a motion. This motion to extend for 5 minutes is second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. We're voting whether or not we're extending by 5 minutes. All in favor of extending by 5 minutes, please raise your hand. All opposed. Good job. 13. All opposed. All opposed. It happens. We're extended. We've extended by 5 minutes. There's been a call to question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent
to the call to question. 30 seconds to explain your dissent.
I feel that we've spent an enormous amount of time debating different, be it therefore, resolve clauses, and almost no time discussing the actual resolution, what the implications will be, or why we're even voting on it. I myself am a little fuzzy on what to be it therefore resolved clause finally stands at.
Okay, thank you. We're now going to vote to vote. We need 2/3 for this. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. All right, all opposed.
What's your number? What are voting?
13 out of 18.
I don't do math. The motion to call the question passes. We are now going to call the question. I'm going to read the final be it therefore resolved clause that's currently on the table. Be it therefore resolved that the student assembly supports this proposal and urges President Sporton to consider endorsement with particular focus on consideration 5, and to meet with student leaders to discuss these possibilities. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
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 Yes. She processes yes.
No. No.
No. No.
By vote of 14 to 4, there are no abstentions, and 0 abstentions, Resolution 13 passes. Thank you. We're adjourned.
I'll see you all at 9:30.
What?
I do.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.